Brett and Mo from We Talk Music.
Hey, how are you, man?
We're great. We're happy to have you back on the show.
Oh, dude, it's a pleasure. How are you guys doing?
Well, fantastic.
It's another typically...
fantastic is a good way to start.
it's typically average weather in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, so what can I say?
Well, dude, well, I'm in Vegas because I'm here doing the Rock Vault thing, and pretty nice out there, dude. I'm sorry.
I bet.
And it's funny, cause we talked about the weather the last time you were on the show, and you were in L.A.,
well,
and it was
know,
nice.
It's a major contender for your day, you know.
We just learned to live with it here. We don't have much choice.
Yeah, you know, somebody actually, last night at the show, we had some people from, where in Canada were they? But I know it was minus something. Minus a lot, just let's say that. And I remember saying to them, oh, "That's not cold; that's dead."
Minus a lot is a typical.
I don't know how you guys do it.
I don't know. We really just do
but
it.
But you're doing it, and you can keep it. So thank you.
There you go. We should do a show opening. Then Brett can edit all this back into the layer.
Yeah, right.
Let's he doesn't mind doing
weather.
That.
Let's become weather people. Weather people. Actually, well, I just saw that like some space center out of a little aside here out of British found a radio signal coming from another galaxy, and it's right on the money every 16 days. So, I guess when they come. Canada will be first on there.
Well, I think if they're probably sending us the weather from wherever that is. That's my guess.
Know, I think you're right.
They want us to let us know.
I know. Anyway, enough of this weather crap.
On to the show. Hey, yo, and here we go with another. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air. And in your ear, I am Mo, joined by Brett. Who cares, Brett? We're not important. Do you know who's important?
I know exactly who's important. He's one of our favorite singers, and we're so happy to welcome back Robin McCauley to the show.
Oh, Robin, that's
it's my pleasure.
We're just going to leave it in.
How you guys put up with me anyway?
We're just going to leave it in the order it was in. People are going to be wondering what we're doing and who we're talking to for the first 3-4 minutes. And then we'll let them know it's you. So we're just going to leave a funny, crazy weather intro to this show.
I'm forecasting that we are going to have a big overcast of rock and roll.
I think that's true. We'll have a black swan flyover.
That's going to shake the damn world, I tell you.
Isn't it? Yay!
Yeah, there we go. Hopefully it won't cause a big disaster.
Oh, dude, we're on it now.
We're doing it. Those are the first two tracks and the first two videos from Black Swan. Tell everybody here who's listening about the project.
It's a great band. Red Beach on guitar, Jeff Pilson on bass, Matt Starr on drums, and yours truly making a mess of things, trying to shake up the world. Project that came together as a result of a phone call that Jeff Pilson got from Frontiers Records to put a project together. And of course he called Reb because he'd worked with Reb on an earlier Dokken record. Jeff and I go all the way back to Macaulay Shank. And in actual fact, not too many people know that Jeff was actually best man at my wedding 27 years ago this year. Yeah, right. So his family, my family, we're very close. And Jeff called me and he goes, I'd love you to write with Reb. What do you think? And I went, that sounds like a great idea, but you have to play bass. And he goes, no, I don't want to play bass. I'm going to take more of the production role and engineer and that sort of stuff. I'll get involved with the writing, but I don't want to play bass. And I said, well, that could be a deal breaker right there, sir. And so we started Reb lives in Pittsburgh. He came to Jeff's studio. Jeff lives at about 30 minutes from me. Matt lives 30 minutes the other way. So there's no way we were going to Pittsburgh. Just let me make that clear. They had sent me an idea that they really got to it pretty fast. And I went to Jeff's studio. Reb was in town. And we got talking and went, well, here we are. What do we do? What do they want? And said, well, a classic rock record. And we kind of left it at that. We really didn't discuss how we should go about it or what kind of a style it should be in, other than give them some classic rock tunes. And I had come up with a melody and a lyric. And I went, well, this is what I've got for that riff that you just sent me. And I started singing, and Reb goes, ah, dude, this is killer. And it was Big Disaster was the first song. And he said, problem is, it's a brand new project. And now a title like Big Disaster is probably not the way to start. And I said, you're probably right, but you know, it is the first song, and you know, it may never make the pile, you know. And it kind of spiraled from there. They continued to write. Schedule was a bitch because, you know, Reb's Whitesnake schedule and his Winger schedule is just, you know, is off the charts, as is Jeff's with Foreigner. And point, just earmarked some bass players that he thought would fit the bill, and also some drummers. So our main goal was to just, you know, hack out some songs and see really where it went. And it's very hard to get everybody in the same place at the same time. So they would send me music, and whether I was here in Vegas or back home in LA, I'd at every available moment, I'd knock something out and call Jeff, and I'd say, when are you home? And he goes, oh, I'm not going to be home for like, you know, 2, 3 more weeks or whatever. So that's the kind of scheduling nightmare that we had. But I'd nail it down, he'd nail it down, and I'd go, okay, put this in the calendar. This is when I'll be home. This is when you're home. And I'd come to the studio and I'd start singing what I had, and we'd chop it up, do a little pre-production, and I'd lay the vocal right there and then, do some backup vocals, and get as near as damn it a complete track until we compiled everything together. Reb would hear it and he goes, this is awesome. Let's fix that there and maybe change that there. Just regular songwriting thing, you know. And then, of course, Jeff would put down a guide bass to get the tracks rolling and program a drum machine, which was pretty awesome, but we still needed it was no longer available. And I knew Matt from Raiding the Rock Vault here in Vegas, and I'd also jammed with him in Hollywood at a couple of different events. And I said, Matt Starr would be killer on this. So Matt came in on the very end, which was kind of ass backwards, and he brought the thunder. He just came in and just killed those tracks. And we have a Black Swan record. Reb came up with the name. We, you know, the label wanted some names. We came up with some god-awful names. And it's
Like.
bad, you're all, dude. And oh, well, I can't even remember. I wouldn't even tell you. But as bad as they were,
Weatherman.
here's the funny thing. Here's the funny thing. As bad as they were already taken. That's the funny thing. We came up with really bad names, and they were already taken by other bands. And I'm going, ah, dude. So Reb came up with the name Black Swan. And I said, well, there's a movie, there's book, and there's this and that. So we liked the name. I mean, we really liked the name. I went, ah, shit, let's do some research. So sent it to the label. The label did the research, and they came back and said, I think we got clearance on this because the only thing we found in existence from way back was a school band, like a big brass band or something. That had fizzled out. So the name was up for grabs. And we swiped the name, Black Swan, sent it to the artist, came up with some beautiful artwork, and voila! It sounds a lot more simple than it is, but that's basically what happened. And I love the record. It's great. It's all brand new songs, nothing hashed from any leftover trash bags from anybody else's closet. It's all new. And yeah, I'm very happy. Your turn. Talk about the weather now.
Well, honestly, the album is amazing. I listened to it.
That's a big word to use right out the gate there. Amazing. But thank you.
Well, it is. I listened to this and you know, when Shake the World is a fantastic opener, but Big Disaster, I do love Big Disaster. Like, it's one of my favorites. Make It There, I thought was great as well. Aww. Divided United, super cool.
Yeah.
There's just so much.
You know, Divided was, that was great. You know, I had been to see Bohemian Rhapsody. I was talking to Jeff about it, and he goes, I have to see it. I'm going to see it tonight when we get done with this session, so hurry up. And off he went, and about midnight, I think, my phone, I can hear my phone going off. I'm going, who the hell wants me now at midnight? And it was Pilsen sending me an MP3, and he goes, oh, dude, I came straight home from the studio, sat down on my grand piano, and I just had this idea after seeing Bohemian Rhapsody, and I've got this idea for a song, and he was singing along to it, and I went, oh, my God, this is really, really good. And he goes, when are you free? And I said, I'll see you tomorrow. So I went to the studio, and he said, did you listen? And I said, yeah, I've been listening most of the morning, and I got a couple of ideas that were more suited to my kind of a vocal. But the song pretty much, no pun intended, remained the same. So we got all the way up to the first chorus, and he said, well, there's part A done. We need an ending. And we wanted to do sort of a Queenie thing on it without doing a Queenie thing on it. And so he sent it to Reb, and Reb goes, this is great. So Reb came to the studio, was playing around with some riffs, and he said to Jeff, I think this is the one. I think this could work. And Jeff goes, yeah, I already got it. I was recording you all the time. So, you know, it was just trashing it out and just getting the feel on it. And there was a vocal idea, and I went, I need to do this in my register and do something a little bit different. And it's a great song. It's really cool. It's really cool. And the production on it is awesome. You know, it sounds real, organic. It's very open. It's very powerful. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun when we could actually get it done. It was a lot of fun, really.
Well, and it must be so different to have Jeff available to do some background vocals as well, because you can tell when you're listening to it that Jeff is doing some background vocals, and I know you do a lot.
Oh yeah,
of them as
and
well.
You know, he's a big Beatles fan, so you can hear little influences because he loves to stick that stuff in there. And I'd come back, and he'd go, "I'll put this on. What do you think?" And I went, "Huh, it sounds like shit. But we keep it." Yeah, and it's funny because somebody said to me earlier, oh, I can hear Reb's voice on there. And I went, well, actually, you cannot. It's just basically Jeff and myself. And one of my son Casey, who's a great little guitar player, actually wanted to know if he could play a couple of chords. And I said, man, it's not really going to be time to do it. But he came to the studio, and I said to Jeff, a couple of the songs that I've done, I'd love him just for fun, get his feet wet, to stick some harmonies on there. And he's got a stupidly high voice. You know, he can hit Eps like full on. And Jeff slapped it into record. Casey went out there, was singing. Sometimes he'd sing by himself or he'd sing with me, which was really cool, singing alongside the old man. And Jeff said, shit, he sings so high, there's every dog in the neighborhood's right off, you know? And he sings in about, I don't know, four, maybe five of the tracks, and he's got a really high voice. So that was really cool for him because he never recorded before. He recorded some guitars before with one of his buddies. But, yeah, so it's essentially Jeff and myself and my son Casey on the beef of the track. If Red sang, I wasn't in the studio. I was gone. But, yeah, and what a lot of people also don't know, Matt Starr has a killer voice. That guy can actually sound like Chris Cornell sometimes. Yeah, he's got an amazing. He's got, he could easily do a lead vocal, like kill it. Yeah, so if this thing ever sees the light of day and goes live, you know, now we'd have four pretty hefty voices that way, you know. So that's a great plus, you know. And Reb, I think, oh man, he's nasty on this record. I mean, he just. He is. Jeff says the same thing.
I listen to Brad Beach. I think he can do anything on the guitar. Like, I listen to him. I think there's literally nothing that
he doesn't do winger on this. He doesn't do winger.
No.
He does something that's like Brad Beach on this record. And I'm going, oh, dude, bring it on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, killing it. You absolutely see it. Kills it.
You can see it in the music videos too. I mean, just like his leads are just amazing. Like, I'm just watching and I'm like, wow, holy. Those are fingers doing that?
And the lead break on Big Disaster is just it's off the hook. It's great. It's killer. Yeah. And I videotaped him myself when he was doing the run-through, and I sent it to him, and he goes, oh, dude. And I don't think I hit one bummer on there. And I'm going, don't be such a schmuck here. Come on. Yeah, I mean, he just killed the dude. It's just, and that's how much fun we had. I mean, it's just a lot of fun. And that's a rarity, you know. It's like we come from different bases, but we don't really, you know. And it's a good combination of people and writing style. So yeah, it seems to have worked on this. It's really cool.
Yeah, because I know we've talked to a lot of bands that have been put together by Frontiers, and it's always very interesting to see to get. You know, the dynamic of the band. But I think that to me, like, this Black Swan is probably one of the most well meshed of all the bands.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying the same thing, that normally, you know, they'll put a bunch of people together and then they'll come in and drag up some old material and rehash it. And we didn't do that. We started fresh, and I think it has a nice fresh feel to it. Jeff's production is just the best. It's the best produced vocal sound I personally have ever had on anything I've ever done.
Wow.
And I told Jeff the same, and I said, I've recorded a decent amount of stuff, and he said, no, it's going to sound like you, so don't bitch about it. He says, this is you. You'll sound like you. And he said, it's going to be great. And he said, I want to keep it real. And it has an almost organic sound to it, you know. It's not overproduced. It's pretty kick ass in your face, and it's great. I love it. Love it.
Well, like I say, you know, you are one of our favorite singers, and so I mean, I think when you say things like that about it being the best produced, it's like, it kind of. I mean, I want to listen to it again, but now it makes me really want to listen to it again.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was such a. It was such a great process because of the fact that we couldn't all be together at the same time. I would get just two or three songs maybe at a time, and they'd send it overnight, and then I'd wake up and they go, and here's another one, and I'm going, I didn't get to the other one yet, you know? And I'd come to Jeff and I'd say, hey, look, there was one song on the Immortal Souls, right? So they sent me some music, and I started listening to it, and I went, oh, my God, that's a great – how did he do that? And I could hear this wolf. I could hear this wolf howl on the song. I come to Jeff, and I'm going, that's cool. And he goes, what? I went, the way he did that sort of wolf howl over the top. And he goes, how much coffee have you had? And I went, no, you don't hear that. And he goes, no, I don't hear any wolf here. Right over there in the beginning of the intro on Immortal Souls. And I said, you know, and I just started yakking. I said, you know, I'm a big vampire buff. I love vampire movies. And so I said, I wrote this whole lyric and melody around a vampire story. And he goes, holy shit. And he goes, whatever. He goes, just tell me the story. Tell me the story. And we went through it, and I put it down, and he goes, huh. I guess we have a vampire. Yeah, and it's one of my favorite tracks, because maybe it's because I just like vampire movies. So Immortal Souls is all about vampires, and of course when Johnny comes marching home, I know you didn't ask the question, but it touched home with me, because I was actually we were in Europe with Schenkerfest, we were in Poland, and I saw the headlines about this borderline massacre shooting, which is very close to my house, like 25 minutes tops. And my same son, Casey, that sang on backup vocals, he had been there the week before. And, you know, a bunch of the college buddies would get together and they'd goof off doing this line dancing stuff. So I went, "You don't line dance." And he goes, "No, you don't have to. It's just for fun." And he was on his way to the grill on that infamous night. And he has a part-time job outside of college. And he got thrown in by the grace of God, or he would have been there. And wow. Those poor families that lost, you know, 12 of their young college students and a sheriff. And that's what inspired me with that whole song, because, you know, when we talk about soldiers, you know, my dad was a soldier, my uncles were soldiers, and I always used to think of soldiers as like older guys, right? But our soldiers are women and boys are just that. They're very young, 19, 20, 21, 22, a bunch of young soldiers, and they come home from active duty, you know, not properly acclimated into this crazy society. No counseling, not proper anyway. And things are not as they were when they left. And that's kind of what inspired me with the song. And, you know, they have a gun and they shoot up the place. And unfortunately for a lot of young, innocent kids and families, it's horrendous. So I put pen to paper and that's what came out. And then he locked into the idea and put that whole end piece, you know. Another horrible day in the news, you know, another massacre, and it's very current. That's the society we unfortunately live in. But anyway, moving fast forward back to the weather, that's where that came from.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was wondering, because I listened to the lyrics of that one, you know, I listened to that one a couple times in the lyrics, and yeah, I mean, it's a very powerful piece. But my favorite piece on their album, personally, you got an awful lot going on, and She's On to Us. That's my personal favorite track.
Oh man, that's actually a true story.
Oh really?
That's actually a true story. You know it is, yeah. And I have a friend, very good friend, and. Who will remain nameless. She's a private investigator, and her dumbass husband, he thought, I guess, that he could have a little thing going on the side without anybody finding me out. And that didn't work out too good for him. And he's commiserating with her, et cetera, et cetera. It nonetheless inspired me to write that whole thing about, it's actually about the ass out of our stupid, you know, ex.
I think if there's one person you don't.
And I just came up with a lyric. It's a great piece, isn't it?
I love it. Like you say, you got a lot going on that one. And it just, I think it's really, really cool. And just, I mean, I think if you're going to, you know, cheat on somebody, don't do it with somebody who's a private investigator. Like,
right?
The one person who...
I know. And I mean, I couldn't come up with that kind of shit, you know, unless I knew something about it. And I told her, and she goes, "You did not." And I went, "Did so." And then thank you for being my, you know, my front cover title. Yeah. So, that's where that came from. Yeah.
Great.
So be careful out there, boys.
No kidding. And The Rock That Rolled Away, that's like actually comes right after it. It's my second favorite song. So how about that one?
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff came up with that idea, because I had been writing lyrics, you know, around Shake the World and Big Disaster and that sort of themed type lyric. And there's another song on there, of course, Unless We Change. It's kind of, and he said, well, I have this idea for a lyric, The Rock and Roll Away, and it's a little biblical in its content, a killer melody, and yeah, it's a great song. It's a really cool song, a great riff.
It is awesome. Yeah. The whole thing is, you know, I mean, Brett listened to the album. He said to me, he goes, gonna send you the album. It's killer. And I listened to it. It's killer. I know you've described it as killer. Like that's the word that describes this. It's, I mean, it's got so much energy. Your voice does sound great. I mean, I don't know how you.
Thank you.
You know, you just.
Yeah, well,
it's
I'm
getting better with age.
Doing this at my age. I'm not supposed to be doing this at my age.
You tell that to anybody. There's so many people doing it at that age and more.
I know it's cool. You know, it's. I think it's a testament to the people that I was working with and the environment that we created, and that's kind of what came out. And I think a lot of people have been sideswiped and going, I don't believe this. This is great. And I think, like you guys, which is great to hear from where I'm sitting, people think it's very fresh sounding.
Oh yeah.
And that's good, because you can easily fall into that other category of, you know, boring, heard it all before. We didn't want to do something that, you know, we had done before, even though it is something a lot more energetic and powerful and maybe a little organic more than we've done before. And yeah, it's my favorite record to date, I can tell you.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And the best vocal sound I think anybody's ever captured. It's right on the money. It's who I am. It's yeah, I'm very happy with it. So that may sound a little conceited, but it's I'm that's where my head is at. It's really good. Well done, Jeff.
You're allowed.
Yeah, you're allowed to feel good about putting out good stuff. I mean, you know what? Yeah. We got only a couple minutes left. I think there's only enough time for you to tell everybody where they can get it, because we would love to keep going, but unfortunately, other people think they're important too, and we think they're not as important as us.
It's going to make a great Valentine's gift. Friday the 14th coming right up. Black Swan Shake the World will be released to the world, part two, Shake the World, on Frontiers Records. And go on YouTube, give it a like, give it a comment, make it a good one, or don't put it up there at all. and that's it. And I love talking to you guys, and I'll talk to you guys as often as you want. And I'm very happy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we'd love to talk more about the weather, because, you know, in this case, Black Swan's got a storm front coming. There's a hurricane in the distance. Yeah.
Yes, there is.
Oh yeah, we're on a long road to nowhere the way we're going.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
your titles are perfect for this.
Hey, and you know what? And I don't even know if I can make it there.
Awesome.
Oh God,
awesome stuff.
Thank you so much for coming on the show again. And I can hardly wait to talk to you again.
I'll see you back in your hometown.
We may come see the Raid in the Rock Vault ourselves, because, you know.
That'll be awesome. That'll be awesome. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Awesome.
Bye-bye.
All the best.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now.